Rabahaya, le yaman sukuri bebeshi ki lavan sukuri babababari bebeshi andiaya le vensi remendiara babababari manso lo vosi ki remendiara baharia mansaya iki anana manso kuri rabahaya anana mansi ki arebeheya la basi ki aremehenda da 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 manso da bahaya Leven so de da daria man sikiare mahaya. Leven si andaya bebe sikiare boria manzaya. Hallelujah, God, idedea. Laia nanaya nanana manzaya. Leven so kore bebe sikira mahaya. Leven so kore da baharia manzaria meheya. Kiare beheya nanana mansaya, leven sukura baharia manshaya bababara manso, leven sikira mahandi e kiara bahai, leven sakare mansukura bahaya nana manso, leven sikira beheya nanana baburia sabrike candele di andushi tatada bakaya, rikite di andushi tananana mahali andele di sia preoccupata manso.
Welcome, welcome. Good afternoon, 60 for 60 family. We are at 60 for 60 at noon. Hallelujah. And we have been praying since January 5th. Amen. And this initiative has really pushed us into deeper realms of prayer. Amen. And I am so curious to hear about how eyes have been opening, the eyes of our spirit has been opening, the ears of our spirit, our senses have increased. I'm so curious to hear how your discernment has been sharpened during I think we're 30 plus days in at this point of praying, amen, together. And so we are so, so excited about the growth that is happening in God's people. We are giving the Lord, amen, our 20 minutes, right? Okay, so we joined this morning at 5. For those of you that are new here to the 60 for 60, thank you for joining us on this afternoon. But for most of you, you've been with us through the duration of this time. And so we are ready to give God our 20 minutes, right, with intention, with reverence, with our governing insight, with foresight. And we have come back today for another alignment, right? We've come back for alignment on today to increase our intercession, to strengthen our obedience on today. Amen. So today I want to discuss mind and mouth, the gate of agreement. So I know that many of you are on lunch at this time, you may be on lunch at this time, but for those that are able to write or take notes, we're going to talk about mind and mouth before we pray, the gate of agreement. If the adversary can get your thinking, he can eventually get your speaking. Amen? If the adversary can get your thinking, then he can eventually get your speaking. Scripture treats the mind and the mouth as connected gates, right? So our thoughts shape our agreements, and our agreements shape direction. And that is why spiritual warfare so often begins as mental pressure, right? Mental fog, right? Mental accusation, mental rehearsal of outcomes that God did not author. So today, before we pray, I want to deal with three things. Number one, why the enemy targets the mind first. That's what we're going to deal with first. Why the enemy targets the mind. He always targets the mind first. Then I want to deal with how strongholds form through reasoning and through memory and repeated rehearsal. And then lastly, we're going to deal with how we respond in a way that is biblical, that is spiritually intelligent, and that is practically grounded. And we're going to pray into that today. So number one, the enemy's order of operations is mind first, mouth second. He doesn't come with anything new. He comes for the mind first, then the mouth. The mouth is not only communication. In Scripture, the tongue is our steering mechanism. So we know that words can bless. We know that words can bind. We know that words can loose. We know that words can align. And the adversary does not need you to feel like you've been attacked. He just needs you to agree, because agreement starts as a statement, right? It starts as a quiet conclusion, like, you know what, this is never going to change. That's an agreement. When we say things like, man, God's not going to come through this time, that's an agreement. When we say things like, I'm always behind, that's an agreement. When we say things like, I can't trust anyone, I don't trust anyone, those are agreements. What about the agreements that we say, I will always fail? These are not neutral words. They are spiritual conclusions that train your decisions and shape your expectations. And this is why we must treat our inner dialogue as a battleground. If our thoughts remain unchallenged, then they begin to function like governing law in your inner world. And once a thought becomes a law, then your mouth will eventually reinforce it or enforce it. Let's look at Paul's definition of warfare, right? 2 Corinthians 10, very familiar passage of Scripture, but I'm not going to assume that everybody has read this passage before. So if you have a minute, I want you to just jot that Scripture down, and you can go back and read it. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 makes warfare uncomfortably practical. Paul says, we do not wage war according to the flesh, but we pull down what? Strongholds. And then he defines the strongholds as patterns of reasoning and arguments that resist the knowledge of God. He goes on further and he says, we take our thoughts what? Captive, and we bring them into the obedience of Christ. Every time I read that, I think about how you take something captive, and that's no passive thing. That's something aggressive. You got to be aggressive, huh? When it comes to the thoughts that come up in our minds, the arguments, the reasoning, the patterns that come up in our mind that go against the knowledge of God. So Paul does not start with demons. He starts with your mental structures in your mind. Reasoning that justifies our disobedience, arguments that defend fear, conclusions that dismiss God's faithfulness, thoughts that present themselves as wisdom while producing rebellion. This is important, people, because a person can be sincere and they can still be governed by false arguments. Deception does not announce itself as deception. It announces itself as clarity. So the real question becomes, What is shaping your conclusions? A stronghold is not just a bad thought. It's really a system. It's a reinforced system. A stronghold forms when three things stack together. You ready for the three? Let's go. Number one, meaning. Something happened and your mind assigned meaning to it. If the meaning is corrupted, then the pattern begins. So you can go through the same event as someone else and come out with a different meaning. Meaning becomes the seed. You need to remember that. Okay? That's one part of how the stronghold is going to form. Meaning, what your mind assigned meaning to when something happened. The next thing is repetition. Repetition turns a conclusion into a reflex. I'll say that again. Repetition turns a conclusion into a reflex. When a reflex forms, you stop choosing it consciously. You start returning to it automatically. So how does a stronghold form? Number one, through meaning. Number two, through repetition. And then number three, memory weight. Write that down. Memory weight. Strongholds often draw their strength from your memory. It's not always accurate memory, but it comes from a place of emotionally charged memory. Memory can be misfiled. Memory can be incomplete. It can be stored without the full context of God's activity in that season. So a stronghold is formed through meaning, repetition, and memory weight. A stronghold is essentially a rehearsed interpretation of life that your nervous system learned to trust. God designed the brain, for those that have just joined, please mute your line. Thank you. God designed your brain with survival systems. Okay? This is how God designed us all. He placed survival systems in our brain. Now, that's not evil. Those survival systems in our brains are necessary. So when the brain senses there's a threat, what does the body do? The body begins to shift into a protective mode, and it does it very quickly. And so that shift can happen faster than your conscious reasoning, and that is why people often say, I don't even know why I reacted like that, because the reaction happened before deliberate thought caught up. And so in spiritual terms, this is very important, because strongholds are often not fought at the level of your intelligence, all right? They are fought at the level of your reflex. They are fought at the level of your identity. They are fought at the level of your rehearsed expectation. Amen? So if you keep rehearsing a fearful outcome, your body begins to prepare for it as if it is inevitable. And that rehearsal becomes a form of faith, but faith pointed in the wrong direction. So biblically, this is why we have to do what? Renew our mind. That's not optional. We got to do it daily. One of the most consistent patterns in Scripture is this. I feel like the enemy's favorite weapon is negotiation, right? One of the most consistent patterns in Scripture is that deception is introduced through conversation. It's not introduced through any force. It's introduced through conversation. Eve's fall involved a conversation, right? It involved a conversation that reformed and reframed what God said. The point was not simply the fruit. The point was the shift in her interpretation. So the serpent worked to make disobedience feel like it was reasonable. And that pattern is still persisting today. The enemy presses for negotiation inside our mind. He wants you to consider what God already settled. And we've got to become strict with what we permit ourselves to negotiate with. When something is contrary to the nature of Christ, contrary to the word, contrary to the fruit of the Spirit, it's not up for discussion. It's an intrusion. When my daughters are sitting up in the hospital right now, I don't have time to negotiate. Listen, heal, that's it. It ain't no negotiating. You're intruding. You're illegal. You got to go. I'm not playing with you. So we cannot negotiate with the enemy. We have to stay anything that is contrary to the nature of God, contrary to the word of God, contrary to the fruit of the Spirit, it's an intrusion. Get it out. Get it out. When your mind, I'm going to give you a protocol. When your mind is in panic, when your mind is in the place of accusation, when your mind is in a fog, when your mind is in agitation, do not start making declarations, okay? Don't do that. Don't start making decisions. Don't start making conclusions. This is the discipline that we will use. This is the protocol that we will use. First, you're going to slow down, okay? The second thing you're going to do is you're going to reduce your speech. It ain't no time to talk when you're in panic. Mm-mm, just hush. When your mind's in a fog, just be quiet. So we're going to slow down. We're going to reduce our speech. We're going to refuse to prophesy from a place of pressure. That's number three. This is the protocol. And then the last thing is we're going to refuse to sign internal contracts while we are under mental duress. Now, why are we doing this? Because the point of mental attack is often to get you to speak in agreement with a distorted perception. That's the point. James 3 teaches that the tongue sets direction. Even in Proverbs 18, somebody was telling me they were reading Proverbs. Proverbs 18 and 21 teaches that what? Life and what? Death, huh? Are what? In the power of the tongue. The power, there's a force behind your words. So when your mind is compromised, your first act of wisdom is to withhold your tongue from partnering with panic, partnering with a diagnosis that is against God, partnering with anything that is opposing the knowledge of God. Silence is not always passivity. Silence can be gatekeeping. Silence can be wisdom. Scripture repeatedly ties our health to our memory. Not because memory is always accurate, but because memory is very influential. People can forget God's faithfulness, and they can only remember pain. And that does not mean God was absent. It means the mind highlighted one set of data and deleted the other. And this is why, y'all, gratitude is a weapon. It's a weapon that forces the mind to acknowledge the full record of God. David, in Scripture, regularly speaks to his soul, and he commands his soul to remember. I want you to do that today. Gratitude is not denying what's going on right now, but gratitude will get you in alignment. When you give thanks, you are refusing the mind's attempt to shrink reality down to a threat. Thanksgiving restores proportion. It declares that God's character is still the highest fact in the room. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 commands what? Thanksgiving in all circumstances. Philippians 4:6-7 commands prayer with what? Thanksgiving. Then it promises what? Peace that guards the heart and the mind. Notice the order: thanksgiving, then guarding, right? This is important because anxiety is often a mental rehearsal of loss. Thanksgiving interrupts this. It breaks the loop. And so on today, we're going to identify the thought. We're going to name it. I'm thinking that God will not come through. We're going to identify, okay, this is how I'm thinking. I'm thinking that I'm going to fail. I'm thinking that I'm unsafe. You got to identify the thought that's coming into your mind. Then you got to test the fruit. You got to test the fruit. Does what I'm thinking produce love? Does what I'm thinking produce joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? If not, it's not a thought that you should nurture. You got to identify the thought first. You got to test the fruit. Then you got to test the source against Scripture. What does God say that contradicts this? You got to search for God's revealed truth. Then you got to replace the conclusion. You got to replace the conclusion. All right? How do you do that? With truth. God is faithful, huh? God gives wisdom, huh? God is present. God completes what he starts. We're going through something right now in my house. I refuse to speak against what God has already said. I don't care what I see. I don't care what's stacked up against us. I don't care how much money we owe. I am going to rehearse what God said, and I'm not going to say anything else. Because I'm not going to allow my mouth to come in agreement with what the enemy is saying about my situation. And then we got to choose a response that matches truth. And this is where obedience locks it in. Strongholds weaken when we stop rewarding them with our behavior. I'll say it again. Strongholds begin to weaken when we stop rewarding them with our behavior. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come under the authority, O God, of your governance, of your word on today, and we submit our minds to the lordship of Jesus Christ. We submit our mouths to the fear of the Lord. We renounce every agreement we have made in secret thoughts that contradict your nature, your promises, and your voice. We repent today for rehearsing outcomes you never authored. We repent for letting fear write scripts in our imagination. We repent for partnering with accusations, with self-contempt, with suspicion. We repent for treating mental pressure as prophecy. We repent for speaking from panic instead of speaking from truth. Now, by the blood of Jesus, we cancel every inner contract formed through trauma, formed through disappointment, formed through addictions, formed through repeated cycles. We cancel the authority of every false conclusion. We cancel the internal legislation that says this will never change. We cancel the verdict that says God will not come. We cancel the narrative that says I'm disqualified. We cancel the lie that says my failure is my identity. We cancel it at the root. And we thank you today that you are invading the structures of our mind, that you're going into the memory, that you're going into the interpretation, that you're going into the places where pain was misfiled. You're going into the places where events were stored without the record of your presence. Bring precision where there has been distortion. Bring healing where there has been fragmentation. Bring light, God, where there has been confusion. Expose strongholds, oh God. Identify the patterns, oh God. Reveal the reasoning, oh God, that has resisted you. Reveal the arguments that have defended fear. Reveal the internal lawyer that has been building a case against your faithfulness. We place every obstacle under the feet of Jesus. We pull down every imagination that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. And we declare today that our minds belong to Christ. We declare that our thoughts can be trained. We declare that our attention can be governed. We declare declare that our imagination will serve revelation and not fear. We declare that our memory will not be weaponized against our future. Father, release a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Give us discernment that is sober. Give us clarity, O God. Give us restraint when we are tempted to speak in agreement with a distorted mind. Put a guard over our lips. Put a watchman at the gates of our thought life. Teach us how to slow down, how to weigh things, how to test, how to obey. And now today, we release the thanksgiving of God. We give you thanks for sustaining us. We give you thanks for keeping us. We give you thanks for speaking to us. We give you thanks, Lord God, for correcting us. We give you thanks that you heal us. What we cannot heal by our own effort, I thank you on today that you are going into the hospital, Lord God, on the behalf of Prophet Zipporah, God, in Jesus' name. And we command peace over her heart. We command peace over her nervous system. We command the storm to silence. We command the stress, oh God, in the name of Jesus, to stand down. Let her body remember what peace feels like. Let her breathing come into rhythm. Let her heart rate come into order. Whatever they saw, God blotted out in the name of Jesus. Whatever they saw, Lord God, I pray now that as we are praying, that the angels of the Lord are erasing whatever they saw, whatever is hiding. Remove it now, Father, in the name of Jesus. It's illegal. And we enforce the law of God against sickness and disease, against the heart, against the mind, against the body, against the ligaments, against the bones, in the name of Jesus, against the breath. And we thank you. We give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning us today. We give thanks that you are faithful. Oh God, hallelujah. You are faithful at all times. We declare today that anxiety will not govern us. We declare today that fear will not drive our speech. We declare today that depression will not define our identity. We declare today that condemnation will not sit on the throne of our mind. We declare today that the peace of God will guard our minds and hearts through Christ Jesus. Oh God, we command every intrusion, every intrusive thought to come into captivity. We command every rebellious imagination to bow to Christ. We command every mental loop that sees torment to break. We command every spirit of confusion to lift. We command heaviness to be released in the name of Jesus. We command the mind to come under the clarity of the Holy Ghost. We seal this work. Train us in it. Make us consistent in it. Let us, oh God, Lord God, limit. This is our reality. Oh God, you are our reality. The eternal world is our reality. We will not negotiate with darkness. We will not rehearse defeat. We will not speak from a place of distortion, but we will match. We will watch. We will pray. We will be renewed, and we will obey in the name of Jesus. Those that are able to unmute your line, I want you to give God the greatest thanks you can give him right now. If you're able to unmute your line, come on and just release thanks. Come on and give him praise. Come on and give him your
Father, we are the orchestrator, Father. You are the ultimate
healer, oh God.
Hallelujah.
No matter the situation, even in our
We're going to open the line at this time for anyone that would like to come forth, amen, and respond to God. Hallelujah. If you are here and you would like to come forth and just give God, amen, your response, you're more than welcome to do so at this time.
Thanks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Will there be one today, if you're here and you would like to come forth, amen, in response to God, amen, in his word on today? We're going to ask you, if you're not coming forth, to just mute your line. But for the ones that are coming forth, go ahead and unmute at this time and you can come forth.
Grace and peace. This is P.I.T.K.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You can go ahead.
Grace and peace, everyone. This is Apostle Fash. Thank you for the release of this word, Apostle. I thank God for it. It's very sobering. It really highlighted how our words and even our behaviors can unintentionally feed strongholds. So I'm thanking God for highlighting that. And just that simple direction that you gave for weakening them is a really pivotal direction for our faith. And I believe it shifts us into having an internal perspective. So thank you for this reminder today to guard our words and to stay aligned with God and what he's doing. And it reminded me of something that you always say to us. You say, don't let your words betray you. So it was encouraging, it was sobering, and it was a beautiful reminder of a shifting into an eternal perspective when it comes to the things that the enemy tries to place in our thoughts and what we speak out of our mouth, especially when things try to arise. So I thank God for that.
Amen. Thank God for your response on today. Hallelujah. And you're absolutely right. So many times our words betray us. So many times, but don't let it just be quiet. Just allow yourself to settle in the peace of God and then speak. If we just be slow, the scripture tells us we don't have to make anything up. It tells us to be slow to speak, but quick to hear. Amen. And then we can make a sound decision, a wise decision after that. Thank you so much for sharing. I believe PIT Cam was coming.
Oh, grace and peace, everyone. This is PIT Cam. Apostle, thank you. I thank you. I thank you for being one that listens to God. This blessed me so much. The strategy that you gave when we are met with challenges in our mind to slow down, to reduce our speech, all that right there was the strategy that will break it all. That blessed me so much. If I don't get anything else in 2026 and this is all I get from God, this thing is going to take me to new levels because of the way the enemy deals in the mind. Oh, when you said about these mental loops, I felt God on that. I felt God on that because we can rehearse. I know for myself, I have rehearsed things that the enemy just distorted the truth of what happened. But he'll have me rehearse a thing to keep me in this mental, emotional bondage. But I thank God on today for this. Thank you so much. This blessed me. This blessed me.
To God be all glory. To God be all the glory. Anyone else on this afternoon, what is your response to the Lord?
Amen. Good afternoon. I wasn't even able to capture all of it, but just what I was able to take in. I mean, this is just sound, and to bring us into soundness of mind, being sober-minded, bringing us into a place of being stable and anchored in the Lord, because it is with the mind that we serve him. And so thank you, woman of God, for just your sensitivity to hear and your obedience to release. And so we are postured to hear and to obey so that we can bear the fruit of what the seed of the word has gone in to produce in us.
Amen. That sounds like my sister, Pastor Inger. Thank you for joining us on today. Amen. Thank you for even just your release on your response to the Lord on this afternoon. I'm so full right now, so you all forgive me. If there be anyone else that would like to come forth at this time, please feel free to do so by unmuting your line. Amen. We do realize that many of you are okay. Good afternoon. Come on forth.
Hey, I was just so blessed by the latter part of what you were saying. If I'm not mistaken, you mentioned repetition turns a conclusion into a reflex, and you know, I was just thinking that by repeatedly capturing and reshaping our thoughts to align with Christ, truth moves from a conclusion and it agrees with the reflex that we live by. We rehearse what's rehearsed. That's what gains that memory weight for us, and what gains memory weight shapes our obedience. And I was like, God, like, I just like the other women have spoken so eloquently before, like, our words really do shape our world. And I'm so glad that God sent you as a reminder today to help us reposture ourselves and the way we speak and the projection that we have on where we are going, because God truly doesn't want to leave us in a constant state of battles, or, you know, mental battles that we inflict on ourselves. He wants us to use the weapons that he's given us. They aren't a worldly force. You know, this is a spiritual truth that you're giving to us today. So I'm just really grateful that we have the ability to overturn any false beliefs that we've centered our world around in the past, and that we can reshape those things with the word of God.
Absolutely, absolutely, we can. Anything we've learned, we can unlearn. Amen. Anything we currently learned that is not profitable to our lives in Christ and our lives in the world, we can unlearn. You have the power to change whatever your current situation is. Amen. And so whatever we cannot do, amen, we thank God that we have a God that can do the impossible. Thank you so much for sharing on today, Jamie. I wasn't even supposed to pray today. I wasn't even supposed to teach on today. It was actually supposed to be PIT Cam, but you go ahead and get ready, baby. You're gonna bring it at 5 a.m. I didn't see the schedule or remember it, and so I just postured myself to teach on today. But I thank God that He always wants to bless His people. He always wants to release to His people. So I praise God, amen, that someone today received the word of God, and the changes you make today, the pivots you make today, is going to affect, it's going to go into your tomorrow, and it's going to affect your future, amen, for the better. Glory be to God. Would there be anyone else that would like to come forth? Feel free to do so at this time. All right. Don't forget to get your 20 minutes in before the day ends. Amen. 20 minutes at 5 a.m., 20 minutes at 12 noon, and then 20 minutes privately, you and God. Amen. Or if you want to join with someone else and pray, just make sure, amen, that at a minimum, you spend your 20 minutes, amen, complete your hour for the day with the Lord. For those of you that would like to go back and listen to the replay, you can go to our website, www.sentmiami.com. That's S-E-N-T, Miami.com. You can click on more, and you will find the majority of all of the prayer calls from 5 a.m. and 12 noon there. And you can go back and you can listen for anything that is current like today. At least give about 24 hours before you see it there. But it will be available for you to be able to go back and listen to the teachings, pray along with the prayers, amen, because we know that prayer is eternal. Prayer is eternal. It does not die, amen. You can join your faith with any of the prayers that is prayed during this 60 for 60. And again, we are excited, so we're going to keep announcing it. On Sunday, we are celebrating 3 years, amen, of apostolic work and establishment down here in the South Miami area, and we would like you to be our guests. Come and witness, amen. Be a witness in the room on this Sunday, February 15th, a day after Valentine's Day at 5 a.m. Be with your Sent Miami family as not only we celebrate 3 years, but we celebrate it in the apostolic way by ordaining 2 elders in God's church, in the house of the Lord. Amen. And that would be in the person of PIT Renita Smith and PIT Cameron Watson. So we pray that you will be able to come and join us if you're in the city of Miami or in Fort Lauderdale, the surrounding areas, West Palm Beach, even down in the Keys. Come from near and far to celebrate. Amen. Hallelujah. This kingdom work. Amen. We are not the only ones. I often say that. We're not the only ones. We know that there's a remnant, but we are definitely one of the ones. And so join us if you are available to do so. We're going to release the line, but we are bidding you more grace. Know that we love you, and we pray that we will hear you back here at 5 a.m. God bless.